We're on the second of three sermons on the subject of Thanksgiving. Oftentimes you hear just one sermon, and that sort of gives the impression that Thanksgiving is a holiday, when really it's not Thanksgiving we're talking about, but Thanksgiving. That is, Thanksgiving as a lifestyle, as a way of life, as a way of looking at and living life. With that in mind, let me ask you to turn to Psalm 103. And as you're turning to that psalm, in your place of employment, most likely you have something called a compensation package. It includes your salary, it includes your benefits like life insurance, health insurance, and some kind of retirement plan. And that's the way life works. You work and you're compensated for your work. This morning as we approach Psalm 103, praise God that the benefit package we receive from God is not part of our wages. Because after all, the Bible is very clear. The wages of sin, that is what we've earned, what we deserve, what we've worked for, the wages of sin is death. In God's economy, praise God, it's grace-based. We do not get what we deserve. Instead, we receive from the unlimited resources of God's grace a benefit package unlike any other. And this package that we receive, this benefit package, should move us to be nothing less than praise-animated thank-you notes written with the pen of gratitude to our loving triune God. With that in mind, let us read the first three verses of Psalm 103. Hear now the word of God. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, that is your sin, who heals all your diseases. Keep your Bibles open before you. This is God's Word. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that the benefits that we read of and that we look into this morning are a result not of the works we have done, but because of Your grace, grace that is manifested most excellently in Your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, God, that we would be moved with a motivation to give thanks to You for what You have given by Your grace to us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice in verse 1 and 2, this personal thank you note is something that comes from the inside out. It is wholehearted, it is head-to-toe response to God for this benefit package that God's grace provides. And so before we begin to count our blessings this morning, let's look at the instructions that this psalmist gives us on how we are to count our blessings. Notice that our gratitude to God is personal. Notice it says, bless the Lord, O my soul. You can't log on to Rent-A-Thanks website and hire out someone else to do your thanking for you. We must, as individuals, pick up the pen of gratitude and write our own personal thank you notes to God every day of our lives. But notice also our thanksgiving is to be wholehearted, not just personal, but wholehearted. All that is within me, my inmost being, my whole person. In other words, our thanksgiving is to be focused, completely focused. It's not like when we're conversing with somebody. You've done it before. You've talked to people or you've talked with people, and you know their minds are 1,000 miles off. This is to be engaged. God wants our full engagement of what we have in giving thanks to God for who He is and what He has done. That is, who He is, God, and what He has done for us. So that brings us to the question, what has the Lord done? And to explain that, I want to take you to the country of Spain, to the city of Barcelona. This is a true story about a father and his son named Paco. Now please understand, the name Paco is a very common name in Spain. Father and son were once close, but there was a blow-up, a conflict. The relationship between a father and son had been broken like a brittle stick snapped in two, shattered like a piece of expensive china dropped onto a brick floor. In fact, because of this conflict, the son Paco ran away from his hometown of Barcelona and relocated in Madrid. As time passes, the father is filled with remorse. His heart aches. He's very sad. He's to the point of being physically ill about what's happened between he and his son. And so he takes out an ad in a paper, Madrid's El Liberal newspaper. And here's the ad, very simple. Paco, meet me at Hotel Montana Courtyard, noon Tuesday. All is forgiven. Papa. On Tuesday noon, when the father arrives at the courtyard, he finds 500 young men named Paco waiting for their fathers. Just goes to show you how deep, how very primal our need is for forgiveness. As we consider the believer's benefit package God's grace provides, here's the first benefit that should move us to give thanks every day to the Lord. And the first benefit is this: let's thank the Lord for the benefit of forgiveness. Notice it says, who forgives all our iniquities, our sin. Now, to understand this benefit, let's look at the problem that makes forgiveness necessary. The problem is sin, and sin is something that, among other things, blocks the possibility of a personal relationship with the Lord God. Sin disrupts, destroys our relationship with our Heavenly Father. You may not see sin as that big a deal. I understand people that live right next to a factory don't notice how yellow their house is from the factory belching out pollution right by them. But for your Heavenly Father, sin is a big deal. Sin is what is preventing us from having a personal relationship with our Heavenly Father. Now, to show how this works, let me tell you another true story about a young married couple, Nicholas and Elizabeth, Nick and Liz. Now, Nick loves his wife, but he cannot have a relationship with his wife. Why? Because of what Liz does for a living. You see, as her main employment, Liz grooms, raises, prize racehorses and show horses. She grooms, she cares for some of the most beautiful, most expensive horses you've ever seen. She makes great money. She loves these horses. And she's following the passions of her heart. What more could you ask for? Well, there's a problem. And the problem is this. Nick, her husband, is violently allergic to horses. Deathly allergic to horses. I mean, if there is even the slightest trace of horse anywhere on Liz, within 2 minutes of being near Liz, Liz's car, around her clothes, Nick breaks out in hives from head to toe, gets a piercing headache, and his eyes begin to burn, and then he can barely breathe. Oftentimes, he's had to use an EpiPen just to get over that initial shock. Now, the problem with Nick and Liz is a physical picture of a spiritual problem between us and God. You see, God, by His very nature, is holy, 100% pure. No trace of sin whatsoever. And because of that, God is violently allergic to the sin that covers us from the top of our heads to the tip of our toes. As a matter of fact, God tells us these holy, pure eyes of His cannot even look at sin. And since we're covered with sin, God cannot even bear to look at us or to smell the scent of sin on us. And for sure, this keeps him from having a personal relationship with us. Now, if Nick is going to have a relationship with his wife, this horse problem is going to have to be eradicated, destroyed. Or there's no relationship. And friends, if we are going to have a personal relationship with our Heavenly Father, the sin problem that covers us and clings to us the way that smoke stays in our clothes, the way it used to when we ate at Waffle House in the 80s, has got to be eradicated, done away with completely. I ask you this morning, have you acknowledged your sin problem? Have you acknowledged that you are covered in sin, saturated with the sin of sin, that God is holy, pure, allergic to sin, and that the real problem is we cannot solve this sin problem? We don't have the solution, but the solution to the problem, the restoration of this relationship between us and God, it's got to come from someplace else. So having considered the problem, let's look at the solution that God provides to the problem. The problem is sin, and in verse 3, the necessary solution is, notice that word, forgive. It's forgiveness. Now let's go back to Nicholas and Elizabeth. After consulting with a number of doctors and veterinarians, there is hope for this couple. Here's what's got to happen. Before Liz goes home, she has to shower with a special soap. I mean, from the top of her head to the tip of her toe, she has to wash off every trace of horse on her. Then after she gets out of the shower, Liz has to put on a fresh suit of clean clothes. That is, clean clothes with no trace of horse on them. In other words, it's only after a total cleansing and a fresh set of clean clothes that this problem of a severed relationship between Nick and Liz is solved. Notice what solves it: cleansing and clothing. What a picture that is. The problem of a severed relationship between us and God is solved by forgiveness. In the Bible, as a matter of fact, forgiveness is compared to washing. Washing and cleansing. Listen to this from Psalm. If you're taking notes, you can jot this down. Psalm 51, verses 2 and verse 7. Verse 2, wash me from my sin. Verse 7, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And the one that's doing that washing and cleansing is the one he's praying to, and that is the Lord God. God, wash me. God, cleanse me. You see, when we ask for forgiveness, what we're saying is this: Lord, I know I'm dirty. I know I'm covered from head to toe with sin. I need the cleansing that you provide. You see, to make a confession for forgiveness, confession of sin, is what stepping into the shower is for Liz. Becoming clean enough to have a personal relationship with her husband. See, we must enter the shower of confession of sin if we want the cleansing forgiveness brings. Forgiveness involves confession of sin. Now, here's where the analogy breaks down. See, Liz can buy the water and the soap. Liz can pay to have her clothes cleaned. But we cannot buy what we need to be clean enough to be close to God. Our cleansing, our clean clothing must come from God by His grace. And that, friends, is what God has provided. Complete, total cleansing from sin, pure white clothing to wear. The cleansing comes from the blood of Jesus Christ, and so does the clean clothing. 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus purifies us. Purifies us, and listen to this, from every sin. Think about that. Think of the magnitude of that. Think of the magnitude of that just in light of how much you've sinned this week. And sometimes not even realizing how bad it is. Think about that. Every trace of sin is washed away by the blood of Christ. You see, what Christ did on the cross was this: every bit of the grime and germs and grit of your sin washed away down the drain. You're clean, clean enough to have a personal relationship with your Heavenly Father. And in the place of your sin-stained, sin-stanked clothes, God gives you the robe of righteousness, clothed in righteousness. But please, please hear this. It's not your righteousness you're clothed in. It's the righteousness of Christ that clothes you. And friends, if you're wearing Christ's robe of righteousness, please remember that robe of righteousness was crocheted on the cross so you could put it on by faith. Given to you by God's grace. And you know what? Did you know that in Paul's letters, he never refers to Christians as Christians? Did you know that? Go ahead and search them. He always refers to Christians, always, in this way. Christians are people who are, here's the phrase, in Christ. Whenever you see in Christ, some form of that, he's talking about Christians. You're in Christ, robed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. And your Heavenly Father tells you four words that should bring absolute chills into your heart. And that's this: all is forgiven. Papa. Like the father of the prodigal son, Papa says, bring out the best robe, the robe of the righteousness of Christ, and put that robe on my child. Welcome home, son. Welcome home, daughter. It's because of the forgiveness that God gives us in Christ. There's a second benefit, a second blessing here in God's gracious compensation package to us. We thank God for the benefit, for the blessing of forgiveness. But notice in the second place, we thank the Lord. We thank the Lord for the benefit of cleansing. Excuse me. The benefit of healing. Benefit of forgiveness. The benefit of healing. Now this second blessing, notice it says He heals all your diseases. This is controversial, and I'll tell you how controversial it is. There's some people, I've heard, some people try to spiritualize this healing. You know, they say, well, you know, this is parallelism, and in the psalm, the second line explains the first, and so sin is compared to disease, and this is just another way of saying, you know, the Lord forgives all your sin disease. Well, that's true. Every sickness we experience, every sickness we see, is either a direct result of sin or an indirect result of sin. And sure enough, if Adam and Eve had not sinned, there would be no sickness on this earth. None. Zero. Zip. Nada. Now we know what God's intentions are, because when Jesus was on this earth, one thing that Jesus did was that He healed people. And when Christ returns and ushers in the new heavens and new earth, it says in Revelation 21, there will be no sickness, sorrow, or pain. In other words, remove sin and you also get rid of sickness. Sure, as they say on the streets, true that. But this idea of sin as sickness does not exhaust the riches of what this verse is saying. Look again. He heals all your diseases. And that is what is so controversial. I want to tell you something happened in my life, and I think you could probably share something similar in yours. When our second child contracted Group B strep, during the birthing process, I prayed fervently for the Lord to heal our second child. He died 15 hours later. After my mom contracted Alzheimer's, I prayed every day that God would heal her. Instead, about 5 years after diagnosis, she died. And here's my question. Think about this. Did God answer my prayer for the healing of my second child and my mom? Well, some people would say, yeah, of course He did. You know, God answers prayers one of three ways: yes, no, or maybe. Or wait. Yes, no, or wait. He answered this prayer, no. Well, that's what I used to think, but no more. The fact is this: God answered both my prayers for the healing of my child and the healing of my mom. He answered both with a resounding yes. I owe a debt of gratitude to Dr. Brian Chappell for something he wrote years ago in a book entitled Praying Backwards. In God's providence, I opened that book up, and while reading Dr. Chappell's book, I came to realize in a new and fresh way how God heals all our diseases. Now let me quote Dr. Chappell. He says, when it comes to God's promise to heal, our omnipotent, that is our all-powerful God, is not limited to the boundaries of this earth and His promise. God has other options for healing. Yes, our Lord can heal us on this earth, but the healing that takes place on this earth will still leave our bodies imperfect. Our bodies will eventually decay and we will die. But God has an option beyond the imperfect healing of our time-bound existence. Chappell continues, we need to be reminded that we are eternal beings, and our physical existence on this earth is neither the extent of our time nor the limit of God's opportunity to heal. Now, listen to this. The Lord heals. The Lord most surely can perform the perfect healing of raising us up to immortality with Him. Or God can provide the imperfect healing of repairing our mortal body on earth for a time. I've experienced this with my back. I know it's temporary. He continues, if this first option of immortal healing seems less remarkable to us, it's only because we have a limited view of what healing is ultimately about. Now listen to this last line. It's very important. Chappell says, through death, God heals us forever, and we never get sick again. Through death, God heals us forever, and we never get sick again. So let's go back to the question. Did God answer my prayer for the healing of my son? Yes, He did. Did God answer my prayer for the healing of my mother? Yes, He did. God could have healed them both for a time, but instead God healed both of them eternally. And friends, they will never again experience sickness or death. Never. Understand this. Sooner or later, either in time or in eternity, this verse is true. Look at that verse again. He heals all your diseases. Let me encourage you to marinate in that. Let this verse wash over you. Drill this verse deep into your heart. Someone once asked D.L. Moody as he lay on his deathbed, his body ravaged with disease, Dr. Moody, how are you? Not a question I'd ask someone at their deathbed, but still, he asked, and Moody responded this way. He said, friend, I'm almost well. I am almost well. Yes, sooner or later, this verse is true. God heals all your diseases. And we can always thank God for both our time-bound healing and the eternal healing God promises to His people. And what an opportunity to share the gospel right now while people are dying physically and tell them this is not the end for a Christian, but that your loved one is healed if they're in Christ. What a tremendous opportunity for the gospel we have right now, right here, during these days. What a huge door has opened for us in this. Two problems, two benefits. The problem of sin, the benefit of forgiveness. The problem of disease, the benefit of healing. And may I add, healing with no expiration date. Yes, in this world, we have problems. But in this world and the world to come, God gives us great and wonderful and spectacular benefits. And friends, that is why every day we live gives us as a gift another opportunity to be living thank you notes written to the Lord God for His benefits, forgiveness and healing for His people. Aren't you thankful? Then pick up that pen and write that letter to God. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank You that in a world where sin is obvious, that forgiveness is greater. We thank You for this world where we're reminded every day of how diseases and viruses are killing people and infecting people, that there is the benefit of healing now and healing with no expiration date. Yes, Lord, we realize in this world we have problems, but we also have given to us by Your grace great benefits. Lord, help us to be thankful people always. In Jesus' name, amen.